era of environment, the era of environment is the need to implement a new approach to environmental education through journalism. It is a media company based in Comoros Islands with an online radio launched in 2020 with the support of UNESCO. Listen to Your Voice, the Sustainable Development Podcast, introduced by ERA Environment.
This is Radio ERA Environnement, the radio of environmental education. You are listening to the podcast.
Understanding Sustainable Development Goal 7, Clean and Affordable Energy with Sakina Biru.
Ọdọlọkùnrin àti ní obìnrin gbogbo nǹkan tẹ bá ń ṣe ẹ mọ wípé ẹ jẹ olùtọ́sọ́nà fún àwọn tó ń bọ̀ lẹ́yìn ni ibi tẹ bá sì ti bára yín ẹ rí wípé dájú àwọn nǹkan tó máa jẹ ìmúlọsíwájú fún àwọn ọmọ yín lóbìnrin àbí lọkùnrin àbí lọmọdé lálágbà àbí àwọn obìnrin àbí àwọn young person ẹ make sure pé ní gbogbo nǹkan tẹ bá máa ṣe níbẹ̀.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you to be our host today. We have from Nigeria, Sakina Biru. She's a community mobilizer and advocate for girl, child, and women in Nigeria, in Kaduna State especially. And we thank you, Sakina Biru, to be our host today. And we'd like today to listen to you, to your view related to your activities to help fighting deforestation in your country and help women finding solutions to cook easily in a sustainable way.
Thank you so much, it's good to be here. It's a pleasure joining you.
Thank you.
So I just want to start by saying I actually started this while I was in secondary school. When I was in the third year in secondary school, I started with the advocacy that had to do with the MDG, that's the Millennium Development Goal, and that's where I started as a student. So we virtually do programs that had to do with MDGs, projects through drama and speech that has to do with our MDG. So going forward, while I was studying, I'm also part of young organization that is the African Youth Network, the YALI Network, which in Kaduna, and I've represented the young people in many programs that have to do with environment. So basically what we do is we organize clean up, we go for city clean up, we go for tree planting, we go for sensitization for young students in secondary schools, just to bring out their potentials and skills that had to do with environmental sustainability. And also in 2018, I founded a project called the Sustainable and Affordable Energy Project under the National Youth Service Corps, that is the Nigerian NYSC scheme, which we train youth community of young people how to turn their agricultural waste into briquette for cooking. Coming back to the Northern Nigeria, we are all aware of with deforestation and desertification, and this part of Nigeria is actually facing a huge threat of deforestation. So we just have to get our biodiversity, our forests are not being degraded.
With firewood.
This firewood is not sufficient for them, is not efficient for them, because they use the local three-stone cooking method, which actually increase the risk of health impact, environmental and economic, because the cost they incur in purchasing firewood is more during some season.
I see.
It's the cost they use to incur firewood is actually more, because the woods are burning unsustainably, and also we have the respiratory ill health, and also when being exposed to all of this heat from those and smoke from this firewood. So the alternative way we do is we have to sensitize them to see the negative impact of those firewood to themselves, to their health, their environment, and also to the climate in general, and then provide a solution where we train young people and women on how to make briquette from the agricultural waste. So one of those things we were able to do is we also trained them on how to fabricate the local clean stove, which is an efficient cooking, which is efficient for cooking, so that they can save more, and that has actually helped them to mitigate the deforestation rate. It's been a project for 2 years, and it's been running up till now in Castina. We have in Kano, because it's a project that we partner with the WOFAN, that is the Women Organization of Rice Farmers in Kano. We also partner with the Boer, and we also partner with the WACOT, that is the West African Cotton Industry in Castina. So this is what one of those things we've been doing. And also we've been trying to see how we can do efficient cook stove in Kaduna, which it's under the UNDP project, which is ongoing right now. And also we are seeing how we want to go for a briquette on a large scale, because one of those things we're able to do is Kaduna State is one of those states with high amount of agricultural waste, that is the maize. So we want to see how we can go on a larger scale. We're working with a team of young people to see how they can fabricate this carbonizer locally. Whatever we're doing, we want to see how we want to bring young people on board, help their potential, improve their skills, and link them with partners that are ready to give them funds and grants for them to move forward. So these are one of those things we've been doing. And we've also been doing the sensitization through the medias. Our media, ANZU, has been a very good platform to reach out to policymakers and to ensure that policies and laws and regulations are being implemented. And one of those things we are trying to see is we want to ensure that for the NDC, the National Determined Contribution for country, as Nigeria, we want to see how young people can actually work towards this thing. Because it is something that for every country is committed into the Paris Agreement, and Nigeria is a signatory to that Paris Agreement in 2015 by the President Muhammadu Buhari. So one of those things we're trying to do is we want to ensure that young people are aware of this NDC.
Sakina Bello explaining Sustainable Development Goal 7, Clean and Affordable Energy in Nigeria, Kaduna State.
One of those objectives was smart agriculture, efficient energy. We have also waste and water management. We also have gas flaring. So whatever thing we are doing, we want to see how we want to work with young people and young women in community, especially for rural and marginalized community, because their voices are very important and we need to bring them on board to ensure effective service delivery. So this is what we've been doing in Kaduna and in the Northern State with other young people in Nigeria, because we have a platform that we all network and we all come back and say this is what we want as young people.
Sakina, yes. You've mentioned many things related to your activities. You're quite young, you're 26 years old. How actually you manage to help these women and these young people to follow you? And how did you manage to be trained yourself to better actually help these people to not use trees? We are in Comoros Island, and in the island here also, people are using trees, are cutting trees to cook every day. So my question is, how a young woman like you did succeed to help the women and the youth to understand that the solution you have are the right solutions.
Okay, so one of those things, actually I can hear you, it's actually a difficult one during the implementation of this project, because I must say one of those things I wanted to do first was, it was a business model which we want to work with, a community sort of a business like, but unfortunately we couldn't access those grants during the process because our budget was above the grant proposal. And coming back as a community person, I'm a community mobilizer, I work with group of young people at the grassroots basically. So one of those things that was easy for me to penetrate was there was a community ownership for them. When we went there, we assessed their vulnerability. And we made them understand all of those, to share their views and their opinion, and we now relate it back to the negative impact. So that way they were able to see that there is a need for them to stop cutting down those trees, and there is a need for them to get an alternative source of cooking. That way, because we all come on one table and we discourse, we bring their own knowledge to complement our own and see where we can work together with them. So that make it easier for us to penetrate the use of briquettes into those people. And we will also change their mindset, because one of those things we had to do was the capacity building for improvement for young people. We understand that a lot of people have the passion, a lot of people want to change something, but then they don't have this mentorship for them to do what they want to do. So we're able to let them see the importance of whatever they are doing, and to see the self-esteem in whatever they are doing. So they find it like, if someone is telling me that what I'm doing is important, then I need to believe what I'm doing is important. So they feel the sense of importance when we worked with them, and they were able to unless their eating potential.
I see.
We've just worked with these people in less than 3 months, but they have been able to do all of this without us in the last 2 years.
I see. How about the money? Tell me, because the use of money actually is very important in these issues. I mean, there are people who are cutting trees, and even they said that the gas is expensive, the oil to cook is expensive. How do you manage to have the money to fund this project? How the UNDP actually help you?
Okay, one of those things in Kaduna is cook stove in Kaduna, it was under the UNDP project for the state, which the state, Kaduna state government, is a beneficiary to it, with Cross River and other state. It is a funding circle, which it's a pool of money which every state have to go through that process. It is a process which they were able to do here in Kaduna. But coming back to the one we had in 2018, it was a project that I championed under my NYSC project. So I need to go get the fund myself. I need to go source for funding. And one of those things was my place of primary assignment, where I'm serving as a youth corper. Due to my dedication and commitment, they actually believe in that thing, and they were able to invest the sum of 50,000 first on that project. And also coming back to the West African cotton, that is the WACOT, they gave the sum of 100,000, and also the BUA gave a lot, 7,000, and I think we have other youth-led of 1,000, and we had a free coverage from Vanguard and other young community people that donated some sort of support in kind. So one of those things that was easy for me to secure the fund was I was able to let the people see the benefits and the importance of what I want to do. And coming back to where they see the communities and from those community, what they are facing, then people are ready to give in their support in their little way. So that was why I was able to secure that little fund, just to train those people. Though we intended to have 5 communities, but we ended up having 4 communities because the fund is not enough. And also due to the insecurity period at that moment, so we couldn't access the next community due to the kidnapping and other insecurity issues. So actually getting fund, it's not easy. It's not easy for you to get fund as a young person. But one thing that is very important is whatever you're doing, whatever project you are doing, let the people see the importance of it. Be able to bring in your ideas and your objective.
This is Sakina Billow explaining Sustainable Development Goal 7, Clean and Affordable Energy in Nigeria, Kaduna State.
And when you said that you convert agricultural waste into briquettes efficient cookstove production, is it easy to have this agricultural waste? Because you notice that in the forest you have also plastics. How do you manage to work with it?
Yeah. So agricultural waste for rural community, it's a waste and it is very abundant there because they are actually scaling up. Coming back to the Nigerian sector of the agricultural sector in Nigeria is actually increasing every day because due to the problem of insecurity and people are dwelling into agriculture. So when they dwell into agriculture, we have more waste being generated. And in the city, the narrative is changing because you have more plastic in the city. And in the rural area, you have more of agricultural waste. In the city, we tend to mop up the plastic through the Pick That Trash program and also the waste management scheme. But for the rural community, they have the abundance of this agricultural waste and they actually burn it, which also increased the global warming. So we have this agricultural waste there and it is easier for us to have this program in the rural community. So that is the availability of the raw material. It's dominant virtually in the rural community.
And they understand that they don't have to burn?
Yes. They see the needs of those agricultural waste and they was like, we thought it was just waste, but then we were able to help them unearth the hidden energy potential of that waste.
I see. What is the amount of the project?
The amount of the project was less than 300,000. It was less than, I think, 220,000 naira.
And it was funded by the UNDP, that one?
That was for the Kastina own in 2018. For the UNDP own is about, I think, 500,000. We have 3 million for the funding for women cook stove, which they can actually assess and get those funds to start their start up for cook stove production. Then we have the, because the UNDP is a three thing, the sustainable energy is a three objective. The sustainable energy is a sensitization, briquette production, and also cook stove production. That is in 2018. For 2019, it is a state projects under UNDP project. So the project is part of tree planting, it is cook stove production, and also the briquette production aspect, which is still in process for the UNDP project in Kaduna. And the cook stove process is already ongoing because a group of young women are actually trained on how to fabricate those stoves and they are actually selling for the city level.
Sakina Billow explaining Sustainable Development Goal 7, Clean and Affordable Energy in Nigeria, Kaduna State.
And also the tree planting, which is for rural community, for land restoration and to curb our deforestation. That is for the UNDP project. But for the Sustainable and Affordable Energy project, it is basically sensitization for young women in those community. Then we train them how to make biofuel and also how to fabricate the clean stove, which 100 units of clean stove was donated to household, and 4 community members were empowered with the startup equipment for fabrication of briquette. That is in Kastina under NYSC project, which I championed. So the other one is, the amount is not that much, But coming back to the Kaduna State, it is amount that it's, the state is being committed and under UNDP, so you have more funds. And one of those things that actually helped during the engagement of the UNDP was the fact that I had the project in 2018 with those community people. It was easier for me to go forth with the program of the UNDP because I was just a member of program, but then it's actually gave me a lot of opportunity to be part of the UNDP project.
I see. Tell me, related to the last project in 2018, I didn't get the name of the funder. What is the name?
It is a personal community development project under the Nigeria Youth Service Corps. It is funded by the community, the host community, because I am to go and serve there for 1 year. As a graduate, I'm to serve in that community.
Mm.
So while I'm serving in that community, I did the project for the community, for my host community, because the community hosts me. So I had to do a project for them that it will help those community.
I see. Sakina, you empowered community with startup equipment for briquette productions. Which are these communities?
For the community, I have a Jabiri community in Funtua local government, and we have Meganji. We have also we have Dikke community that is towards the other part, and then we have Meganji ward. So I have 4 community: Jabiri, Meganji, I have Dikke, and I have Makera community.
They speak the same language?
Yes, they speak the same language, but they are located in across the zone. The geographical is just like north, west, east, and south.
Okay.
And for these 4 communities.
It is strategic why you choose this community and not the others?
Actually, one of those things was the communities are bounded to other community, which are very close to other local government. So it is easier for them to penetrate toward the other community. And then the next one also had access to the next community in the other end, so that when they are making production, there won't be a clash in the market. Because if you have one market, it will be difficult for people to actually continue production, and the source of raw materials will be actually an issues for them to get. So if they are being placed in those strategic areas, just to make sure that they have access to raw materials from the neighboring communities in that places, so that whenever they are making production, they can actually have a good market in the other side, and the next community have access to the other market, and the third community and the fourth community. So they can all meet in the city level or in the community, in the whole community center, if they actually want to go forth with it. So that's one of those things.
You have 4 community and not 5 community. You empowered four communities.
The fifth community was due to insecurity and the fund, which was not enough for that project.
And how they reacted with COVID-19? How do you work during this period? There was a mess in Nigeria related to the informal sector and how the women couldn't work. Is there any link with the communities or not? Oh, it was easy.
It wasn't easy because now, due to the COVID-19 guideline, it's limited to number of people at which you can meet and you can network with. So one of those things we were able to do is we get to them through their focus person, and whenever we want to have a meeting with them, we tend to make sure that it is just maybe a minimum of 2 people, a maximum of 5 persons, and we have to observe the social distance just to make sure that people are safe. And this is one of those periods that we have to reach out to those people, because during the COVID, there is a total lockdown. So access to energy and access to people have access to the forest, there was illegal activities despite the COVID and despite order to stop the deforestation for now. But then, you know, people actually had access to all of those things. So we've been able to reach out to them at their community level, but making sure that we meet people individually to ensure that they continue their engagement and the communication is just ongoing to ensure sustainability.
is Sakina Bello explaining Sustainable Development Goal 7, Clean and Affordable Energy in Nigeria, Kaduna State.
Ina ganin akwai abubuwa da yawa da ya kamata mu ringa yi wanda yake kan idan muka yi sai kara mana dama da so da yawa. Saboda hakan ina da kyau a ce duk inda kake, duk inda ka samu kanka, kuma duk yayin da kake aikin ka, ka zama wanda yake da kuzari, kuma wanda yake da burin cewa manufofi da dama da abubuwan da ya shafa mata, yara, musamman kananan yara da mata da kuma matasa, an samu abubuwan da suke bukata sun same shi a inda ya kamata. Ka zamto kana da kishin abubuwan da ya kamata a samu, musamman na ci gaba na al'umma gaba daya.
What is your background? What did you study, and do you follow, actually do you have a training every day on how you can speak to the people and how you can convince the people?
Yeah, actually I had my first degree is in science laboratory technology, that is in chemistry. That's my first degree. I also had a professional course in project management, that is with the Chartered Institute of Project Management and Facility Management in Ghana. Then I also had the environmental and safety graduate diploma, that is from Nevada, USA. So one of those things was the COSIRA course I actually do take, that is planning for climate change in African cities. And also I'm a resource person that had to interact with young people and train other young people. So virtually I'm always online to make researches, get information. And also I do research and publications that had to do with renewable energy, sustainable and waste recycling. So virtually I'm always on for research and learning to make sure that whatever we are doing, we are working with the technology advancement and seeing where we can bring up innovations for the present needs and the future. So
what can we expect for you?
For me, I think nothing but the best, and to ensure that the voices, the cry and the priority of young people are being met, from education aspect down to health, down to entrepreneurship, down to anything that has to do with young people, that has to do with culture, that has to do with women, is something I'm so passionate about. And I ensure that whatever space I find myself, whatever table I find myself, whatever system I am part of, I ensure that the needs of those people are actually being carried along. And I also ensure that whatever project, whatever thing that had to do with those people are actually being implemented, and this need of young people are actually at. So for me, I think it is a challenge for me, because I represent a network of young people, and I look at it is a responsibility that is being placed on you, and you just have to deliver to ensure that there will be more trust for young people, there will be more support for young people, and there will be more space for young people.
And lastly, how do your parents actually react when you mention that you want to change the mindset of people?
Actually, I think from my family background, my dad is a military person. That's actually a thing that we all grown up to have this. We are so passionate and you just go for the best, like nothing less, but just the best. So one of those things was, as a girl child and my setting of coming up, the first time I'm going to leave my house, like the first time I'm going to leave my environment, was when I get admission at the high school. So I need to leave my family and I had to stay some kilometers. Like it's a neighboring community from my house, so I had to stay there all alone. But then that was when I was able to realize that sometimes you have to move out of your comfort zone before you can achieve a lot. And coming back to my community, when my parents heard about it, because the project I did in Kastina was one of the overall best projects from the zone. From that is the northeast part, it was one of the best projects, and I was being awarded the state award. So when my parents heard about it, they were so happy. And for most projects that I'm going, I actually had to tell them, okay, I'm traveling to this community, I have to go to those community. The only thing they tell me is, you are a girl child and you have to be very careful, and let's You don't have to compromise your standard because of anything. Whatever you want to stand for, if it is the right thing, just stand for it. You don't have to disrespect anyone. You don't have to compromise your standard, but just be positive and just be passionate with whatever you're doing. So my family was one of those biggest support I had, and that was what gave me the push to do a lot of things. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was Your Voice, the Sustainable Development Podcast with Sakina Bello, Nigeria, in Kaduna State. Umi Ahmed Mikidash for ERA Environnement.